I remember a story. You know, those folk stories. My grandmother used to share always of a millipede and a frog. And we used to enjoy that. And when she shared, we never asked so many questions. We would take it as it is, because it's coming from an elderly person. Now the story goes like, there was a race between a millipede and a frog. They were asked to compete, and compete according to the rules. And then the millipede started slowly, the race going on. And then the frog said, no, I'll rest a little bit. When the millipede has gone maybe some kilometers, then I'll come. Then the millipede went, and then the frog started the race. He jumped and jumped a few kilometers. Soon he caught up with the millipede and then overtook him and then reached the end of the race. But then people who were waiting at the end, at the finishing line, wanted to evaluate each one of them to see who has competed according to the rules. And guess who won? The millipede won the race. And the frog could not make it because he did not compete according to the rules. Because there came a time whereby they said, let's go and see where your footsteps are. It was difficult for the poor frog. He said, maybe I stepped here and there. It wasn't so clear. And he lost. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I won't preach from the entire chapter. I'd like to focus on verse 24 to 27 of 1 Corinthians. I'm reading here from the ESV. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Here is the Apostle Paul writing to the Church of Corinth after he had received information from many sources regarding the condition that prevailed in the church at Corinth. Some sources he heard from where the house of Chloe, as we see in chapter 1, verse 11. He heard about the divisions, about the confusion that was taking place from the house of Chloe, informed him about these divisions. There were three other people, like Stephanas, Fortunas, and Achaicus, who visited Paul to make a ministry contribution. But whether they were from Chloe's house, for Chloe's home, we don't know. But the truth is certain that when they saw Paul, they said certain things. They reported things to Paul about the church at Corinth. Now, issues regarding morality were a serious issue in that church. Like any large commercial city, Corinth was a center for unrestrained, rampant, unbridled immorality. And Paul had written to them previously about issues regarding moral laxity, moral looseness. They were at liberty to do whatever they wanted to do at Corinth. And the worship of Aphrodite encouraged sexual immorality in the name of religion. It is said at one stage there were 1,000 secret, I don't know why they called them secret, there were 1,000 secret prostitutes that served at the temple. Imagine in a setting like this, the church was not spared. In such an environment, many problems from the world infiltrated into the church of God. And such problems included divisions in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, moral laxity. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, misunderstanding on marriage. Chapter 7, disunity at the Lord's Supper. Chapter 11, questionable practices. Chapter 8, misunderstandings on the resurrection. Chapter 15. In light of all these problems and others that bombarded the church, Paul never lost sight of one thing. And that one thing was to preach Christ crucified and nothing else. This he did sometimes with weakness, intentionally, so as to win others to Christ and strengthen those that were already in Christ. In chapter 9, where we are going to focus, we read about his rights as an apostle. But he had to let go those rights and become weak for the sake of the gospel. When you read chapter 9, the first verses, he says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus? Are you not my workmanship in the Lord?" He goes on. And then verse 4, he says, "Do we not have the right to eat?" He says so. And then he goes on, if you go down to verse 12, he says, "Nevertheless, we have not made use of the right," the rights he was mentioning. And then verse 15, "But I have made no use of any of these rights." He's mentioning rights, he's picking up there. But he said, for the sake of the gospel, I had to let go my rights, which you all know these were all my rights, but I had to let them go for the sake of one thing, for the sake of the gospel. So he never lost sight of that. So he had to let go all these things so that Christ remains prominent in his preaching. Now at the end of the chapter, he tells them now to run the Christian race so as to win, and they needed to learn from him. And in actually verses 24 to 27, he's saying, "I've run so well. Look at what I have done. These were my rights, but I decided not to hold on to my rights, but for the sake of the gospel, I have run in this manner. So also you need to run this Christian race." So the Corinthians wanted to take an easy life out, easy way out, because of that moral laxity. You can now see why he employed the athletics imagery here. The Corinthians understood it better because they had seen people practicing, and then later on they would run many times. It was common in their area. So they would understand this imagery very well. They knew the discipline that was involved, and they needed to learn from that discipline for their sanctification in the Lord to be better. Now, an athlete strains his body to win the contest. And the Corinthians knew this very well. Why do the Corinthians need such discipline? Their lives were characterized by debauchery, prostitution, idol worship, as you can see that discipline, such discipline was needed. And I've entitled my sermon, "We Must Run to Win the Race." Therefore, in this short passage, verses 24 to 27, I would like to raise four things. The first thing that I want to raise is our Christian life is a race, and we must run according to the rules. Then secondly, for us to emerge victorious in this race, we must be disciplined and know our goal. And then thirdly, as we run the race, we must know the worth or value of our goal. And lastly, we must run so well so that we may not be disqualified in the end. Those are the issues I would like to look at. Now in verse 24, where it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize?" Paul is asking them a rhetorical question which doesn't need an answer. It's as good as saying, "Do you not know that you all belong to Mukanyo?" The answer is obvious. So they don't need to answer here. The answer is obvious. And they knew what was involved in running a race. Just an entry or a participation in a race did not guarantee a prize for someone. Just because you are in, it didn't guarantee a prize. He reminds them about those that run a race. They run according to the set rules to win the prize. More so, only one person wins the prize after competing in line with the set rules. Paul is not saying here there will be one Christian in heaven who wins the prize, or one in every group who will get the prize from God. The major thrust of his argument is simply that joining the group and run does not mean automatically you will get the prize. The Christian must begin his Christian journey and continue his Christian race in a godly manner, as set in the Bible, as set in God's word. Serving among Christians or in a Christian institution, if you are not saved, does not mean to say you will go to heaven. We can laugh together, we can sing together, we can eat together, or you can make your pastor your best friend. But if you do not know him, heaven is not yours. Just because you associate with those people doesn't mean to say you are part of them. Something is required. And in this case, it is knowing Christ and walking in his footsteps, running the race according to the set rules. Brothers, the point is, do we know him? Are we continuing in him in this Christian race? The one who runs keeps his eyes on the goal. But as he does so, he must obey the rules. You cannot keep your eyes on the goal, on the finishing line, and forget or ignore the rules. A careless soldier cannot win or survive in a battle if he disobeys the rules or disregards the instructions of the commanding officer. He must let go his rights, otherwise he will fall victim to the enemy. Talking about letting go your rights, Paul has illustrated in chapter 9 already. What was supposed to be rightfully his, he had to let go for the sake of the gospel. We are living in a world of human rights. Actually, everything now has rights in the world. Animal rights, human rights, women rights. Everything has rights. But the big question is, what do you do when the gospel is at stake? Do you insist on your rights, or you let go your rights for the sake of the gospel? The human urge or the human tendency is to say, "It's my right, it's my way, it's my right." It happened 3 weeks ago, I was in a shop back home in Zim, in an okay shop. I wanted something from the shop, but it was not in these low shelves. It was up there. And I didn't want to climb and pull down that thing in case everything was going to fall and I was going to be responsible for it. But there was a lady who works in the shop. She was nearby. I said, I want that thing up there. And I know back home, we don't put on trousers. People are beginning to put trousers, yes, but she was wearing a dress. I know it was hard for her to climb up there, and I'm standing down here. It was a difficult task for her. She had to go and call her workmate, a man. So this man came complaining. They are always complaining about women's rights. Why didn't she climb up there and get that thing down? Everything has rights. We are living in a world whereby all things have rights. But what do we do when the gospel is at stake? Do we insist on our rights? Paul had to let go what rightfully belonged to him for the sake of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, let go your rights so that you may run well and win. Don't you want to hear your master one day say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come in and enjoy the eternal rest." Are you running well? How are you running? Are you not involved in shared deals, in shared associations, as you claim to run this Christian race? In South Africa, currently, we have the issue of the state capture. Shared deals have left many people, prominent people, in a shady state, and many more will become officially shady. We are in a race. Secondly, for us to emerge victorious in this race, we must be disciplined and know our goal, our finishing line. I'm taking this from verse 25a. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Every athlete exercises discipline in all things. Other versions say everyone who takes part in a contest. Everyone who takes part in a contest. This suggests that, of course, Paul still has athletics in mind, but the suggestion encroaching in here is that Paul may have other type of athletics in his mind, like boxing also, as verse 26 suggests later on. But the basic controlling idea here, he still has the foot athletics. Those who run must exercise self-control, discipline, or the basic meaning of the word, which is mastery over oneself. Am I able to have mastery over my body, to master myself? Are you able to master yourself as an individual? That's what discipline involves. Discipline involves in those days, if you were going to run, to compete, it involved training for 10 good months before you stand in that track to run. You had to discipline your body. You had to train for 10 good months before the day came. And that discipline also involved diet, the type of food one would eat. It also involved the number of hours one would sleep. A lot of things were involved for the body to be ready for that particular day. Now, our bodies have appetites. And an athlete that lacks mastery over his or her appetites could not make it. What are your appetites? Appetites that are a hindrance or an impediment to my Christian walk with the Lord. We need to discipline those appetites. How do we discipline them? Through Christ, through His word. You know your appetites. Very soon it's going to be coffee time. Who will take more? How many cups do you take per day? The athlete goes through agony in trying to discipline himself or herself. He goes through pain, but he keeps on focused on the goal. That's discipline. Like a mother giving birth to a baby, she disciplines herself. It's a painful moment. All the energy reserves are used to bring out that bundle of life, and at the end, there is joy. She is disciplined, she is focused, because she knows after this pain, joy is coming. It's gonna come. Discipline. There's nothing depressing like living aimlessly or living an undisciplined life, a life without focus, a life without Christ, a life that spills all over. An athlete that runs in 8 tracks throughout the event should not expect to win. You are given your lane, but you want to run in all 8 and you expect to win. It won't work that way. One needs to be focused. One needs to be disciplined. And having how many things are you chasing in your life? How many things am I chasing in my life? Are you that kind of a person that starts too many fires without resources to put it out? Or are you that kind of a person who pokes at too many poisonous snakes with one stick to defend yourself? My point is, God's word is encouraging us to be disciplined and remain focused. Having Christ alone as our focus in this race, Christian race, helps us to constantly focus on our goal, that is to be with Him one day and spend eternity with Him. We do not want to be anywhere and arrive nowhere, as somebody said. You can be anywhere and arrive nowhere. We must be disciplined and remain focused. Not only do we need to be disciplined or know our goal, but thirdly, as we run the race, we must know the worth or the value of our goal or of our finishing line. What is this goal? And Paul tells us in verse 25b, where he says, "They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." We need to know the worth, the importance, the value of our goal, of our prize. In those days in Corinth, they ran to receive a perishable wreath. One would spend 10 months training. You run on that particular day, what do you get? Leaves on top of your head. And you sit there in the sun for 1 hour. What happens? It begins to wither. Is that it? Training for 10 good months. I come here, I run, and then you give me this. They participated, they competed to get a perishable wreath. But we do it to get an imperishable one, which Christ has set for us. He's going to give us a crown that lasts forever, that lasts into eternity. That's how precious the finishing line is going to be. Like Paul says in verse 23 of chapter 9, "I do it for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Why are we doing it? Why are you doing it? Why are you participating? How important is your final prize, the final goal? Sometimes we are in it for what we can get out of it, which was an accusation that was constantly forwarded to Paul as an apostle. These false teachers would say, Paul, you are in this ministry for what you are getting out of it. Are you in it for what you are getting out of it? Are you at Mukanyo for what you are getting at Mukanyo? Or are you at Mukanyo for what you get from the church as a result of the training here? The finishing line is very important. So the worth, the importance of our goal is in eternal life, not just life, but eternal life, real life, authentic life. The value of the goal dictates how we do things. Being excited every day about spending eternal life with God will change how I do things on earth. And lastly, verse 26 and 27. He says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul's Christianity is not aimless. He is not like a boxer who beats the air, who hits the air. But everything he does is focused. When he said to the Jews, I became like a Jew, he knows what he's doing. He wants to communicate the gospel. Everything is focused. When he said, I had to let go my rights and work with my own hands, he knows what he's doing. He wants to communicate Christ. He doesn't want anything to come between him and the gospel. He would rather go down and the gospel prevail. So everything is focused. Hitting the bull's eye, as it were, for the sake of Christ, is everything that Paul is focused on doing, and he's doing exactly that. He refuses to be taken captive by bodily desires. He refuses to be taken captive by his own rights. Paul does not see the body as evil and the spirit as good, as Gnosticism teaches or claimed. The point he's making is very simple. He says the body must be controlled for the sake of the gospel and maintain a Christian testimony. This he does so that he may not be disqualified. He may not be disqualified in the future. That is, to be disqualified is like one who has failed to stand the test. All the students who came to Mukanyo, you wrote an entrance examination. Do you know that some of your compatriots did not stand the test, did not make it, and are not here? So to be disqualified is someone who has failed to stand the test. Let's get Paul right again here. He's not saying he's afraid of losing his salvation. That's not it. Not at all, to use his own words. Rather, his idea is, we cannot save others until we know ourselves. Because he says, I discipline myself. So it means you cannot save others until you understand yourself, until you have mastery over your own body, of course, through Christ. You cannot do that. Paul knew why he spoke and why he did things the way he did. And so he was qualified to save others. We cannot preach Christ to others until we know him personally. Otherwise, we deserve to be disqualified if we don't know him. We cannot teach what we don't know. Imagine a lecturer, you students, standing in front of you, and he tells you, I don't know what I'm going to teach you. It's like, why are you here in the first place? Why are you standing there? Paul says, I need to get myself right first. How? With Christ. Disciplining his body, disciplining himself, so that in that manner, in that way, he is able to reach out to others, and in that way, he won't be disqualified. So run so as to win the race and run well. How is your walk with the Lord as an individual? How is our walk with the Lord as an institution, as MTC? What is the community learning from us as we run in this race and seek to shine, as the word says, Mukanyo? Let us run the Christian race, run well, and run to win an imperishable prize. At the end of your 1 year training, at the end of your 2 years training, at the end of your 4 years training, what will make you stand the test? Is it the certificate? Is it the diploma? Is it the degree that will make you stand the test out there? Christian character, running the race in a stipulated manner, in a God-ordained manner, is going to make you and me stand the test. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the encouragement, for the rebuke that we always get when we come face to face with your word. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to teach us and reveal more things to us, Lord, as we seek to be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, until that final day of perfection, Lord, when we shall spend eternity with you. And be with us now, Lord, as we go back to our respective places and responsibilities. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.